Today on the Covenant Eyes podcast, we'll be playing part two of our interview with Crystal Renaud and Jessica Harris, two women who have come out of a background of pornography addiction. Jessica is the founder of Beggar's Daughter, an online ministry geared towards exposing the issue of pornography addiction among women and providing tools for the church and for the women who are struggling with this addiction. Today, Jessica will list some of the reasons why there has been a rise in pornography addiction among women today.
The internet is really good at providing us with a sense of anonymity. In a chat room, I could be a 5'10", blonde, blue-eyed beach beauty if that's what would make this man accept me. And so it does provide this false sense of intimacy.
Crystal is the founder of Dirty Girls Ministries, a Christian anti-pornography ministry that focuses on helping women overcome porn addiction. Today, Crystal will also share about the rise of this addiction among women and reveal some of the statistics in her own research.
And by the time I closed surveys, I had received about 300 from women who were either currently addicted to pornography or those who used to be. Each woman's story is different, but each have an underlying current of just the desire to be wanted and accepted, and again, that false sense of intimacy. And pornography, you know, initially provided that for them, but ultimately, it just left them alone and empty.
Both Jessica and Crystal will talk about why a desire for intimacy drives many women to pornography, and they will give advice to parents and churches about how they can fight this problem before it starts. You won't want to miss these words of wisdom today on the Covenant Eyes podcast.
Recently, Oprah.com released an article entitled, "Are More Women Okay with Watching Porn?" This article points out nearly one in three visitors to adult websites are female. Even Christian media is talking about this. Over 60 years ago, Today's Christian Woman published an article called "Dirty Little Secret," all about porn addiction among women. Why do you think there's been a rise in this problem today? Crystal, what do you think?
The rise, you know, comes from how readily available pornography is now, particularly on the internet, and the reasons why women look at porn haven't changed, but how they get it and how easily they can get it is what has changed. For people like Jessica and Covenant Eyes readers, listeners, and myself, the statistics are not shocking. In fact, for women porn addicts, I'm sure they're almost comforting because it proves that they're not struggling alone. And they may even begin to feel justified by their actions. But I believe the difference between this generation and the last is that we are actually talking about it, and the statistics are reflecting that change.
I know you mentioned making women aware of this, and I'm sure discipling them through that. How do you think that could best be accomplished?
I think it's beginning to be accomplished because of the dialogue about pornography in general and also the addiction that's taking place. But I think what needs to happen is that women, for some reason, are just not being told that they're loved and that they are worth more than what they are putting themselves into. And I think by helping women who are in situations like I was, where I was not receiving proper intimacy in my household growing up and saw pornography and in that way thought almost a false sense of intimacy and acceptance, I think what's important is to show girls that there's other ways to get that met, particularly through a relationship with Jesus Christ, which I did not know what even existed when I was in the depth of my pornography addiction. So it's about, you know, making Christ the focus, being Christ the center of our lives, and also just to put them in situations where they are being loved in a healthy and protective way.
All right. Thank you. Jessica, why do you think there's been a rise in this problem today?
Well, I really think that Crystal did a good job of hitting the major problem on the head, just that it's a false sense of intimacy for women, and the internet is really good at providing us with a sense of anonymity. Women, we struggle so much with being accepted, and we struggle so much with people loving us, and we love to change ourselves to make people like us more. That's why we have plastic surgery and why we do all these things to change and make the new you. But on the internet, it's a lot cheaper than plastic surgery. And from my experience, I did a lot of cybering, and I could change who I was in a chat room. In real life, I am a brunette, fair-skinned, brown-eyed girl, 5'7". But in a chat room, I could be a 5'10", blonde, blue-eyed beach beauty if that's what would make this man accept me. And so it does provide this false sense of intimacy, whereas years ago, really, there was no community involved in pornography. from my computer room at my house, I can go anywhere I want to go. I can become anyone I want to be, and no one has to know that it's really me. And the pornography industry, really what's bad is they've caught on to that, and they realize that women are a very marketable group, and they began to cater their services, so to speak, to those women and began to make porn specifically to appeal to women. And so now it's becoming more culturally acceptable, and society is embracing this more. And I think with society embracing it more, we as a church need to realize that we've got to stand up and we've got to help. The article from Oprah really condones pornography among women and says, we're surprised more women aren't doing this. So it's almost excusing it. And we as a church have to be standing up and saying, no, listen, that's not the answer for your desires. It's not the answer. It's not how you deal with your sexual desires. It's not how you deal with this. There are other ways of being loved and other ways of having intimacy. This is not the answer that it's being made out to be.
Are there any practical strategies you can think of that the church could use in helping to combat this?
I think we just need to talk about it more. I think a lot of women would come free and would be willing to have help if they knew there was help waiting for them, but so many don't think there's help. First off, we have to discuss it, but then we have to have arms open and waiting for people who need the help. And that's where some pastors get up and say, well, you can tell us anything, or some youth leaders' wives will say, well, you can tell us anything. And I've worked with girls who have told them everything, and then they say, oh, I'm sorry, we don't know how to help you. And they kind of fall through the cracks and they're gone again.
One of the things I hear both of you saying is just really fostering an atmosphere of openness and being able to talk about these things and equipping leaders to deal with pornography addiction among not just men, but also women. One of the themes I hear running through your stories is that this started when you were young, you were looking for affection. Is there any advice that you could give to parents in helping their daughters during these young ages when they might be struggling with body image problems and wanting to feel loved and accepted and protecting them from pornography and other sexual addictions?
Well, for me personally, my addiction to pornography was all about intimacy, about getting affection almost entirely until it became more about physical needs. But growing up, my dad was somebody who traveled for a living. He was not home probably 90% of the time. And when he was home, he was not pretty much, he was emotionally there. And he was not a Christian either. And so I really, really believe, and also through research that I've received, that the relationship it has with her father is so vital to how she sees herself, with how she sees men, and also with how she sees God. And if a dad is a type of person who is aggressive or mean or distant, then she's going to go and look for other ways to get her needs met. And also, she'll begin to see God in the same way she sees her dad. And so when someone comes to her and says, you know, there's a Father in heaven who loves you, that to me, at first it offended me, because I was like, well, what? Because my dad was not like that. Why would I want, you know, to buy into this God thing, then that won't allow me to do what I'm doing, you know? So it was just, it's just so, so important that men are good to their daughters and are telling the daughters that they love them, that they're telling the daughters that they're special, that they're beautiful, that they spend time with their daughters so they girls know what a healthy and appropriate relationship with a man looks like. And it also is very important with how the father treats the mother. Seeing that day in and day out is very important as well. My dad treated my mother very well, but again, he was not around. And so it was just having that lack of positive male influence was very, very important to where I was and what I did.
It's crazy to hear her say that, because I felt a lot of the same things growing up, especially in church. My dad left our family when I was 7, and he was abusive. I was daddy's girl. So when he left, it broke my heart. Like, he tore me down, and it kind of left me in this state of, what do I have to do to get you to love me? What do I have to do to get you to stay? And growing up, people would try to be nice and try to say, well, you have a heavenly father in heaven who loves you. He's better than your earthly father. And it was kind of like, if my earthly dad could cause that much pain, why on earth do I need an almighty God to do the exact same thing? As far as what people can do, yes, if you're a father in a home, love your daughter. I crave that so much, and I wish that I could go back and have the father-daughter relationship growing up, because there were no male figures in my life, period, except for the men I met online. And at that point in my life, I would do anything to hear a man say, "You're pretty. I love you." In the church I am at now, I'm grateful for the male father type figures that I have. And I think if you are a father in a home, you have a role in cultivating how your daughter does view men. And if there is no father in the home, then I really encourage mothers to be keenly aware of your daughters and know that they are probably at a higher risk for falling into this. Just make sure that you're open with sex with your daughter, even from a young age, because as they get into their teenage years, they're going to appreciate that openness and that honesty and that dialogue, even about the tough stuff. And they're going to want to know that they can come up and say, "Hey, Mom, I saw this today on the internet, and I just wanted to let you know."
Crystal, you've started a whole ministry around this issue called Dirty Girls Ministries. You've collected confessions and testimonies from Christian women about this problem. About how many have you collected, and do you see any patterns or trends in their stories?
Sure. When I initially launched my website, it was really for the basis of research for my book only. I simply wanted to get a gauge for how widespread this issue was and women were really needing as a tool for recovery. And you know, I had my ideas about, you know, how widespread this was. I knew the statistics, but what was different about this experiment was that it turned the statistics into real women. And by the time I closed the surveys, I had received about 300 from women who were either currently addicted to pornography or those who used to be. And the most powerful part, though, for me were the 50 or so just really heartbreaking confessions and testimonies that we received. I mean, each woman's story is different, but eerily similar to my own and to Jessica's and to each other's. I think we all have a bond in that. But each have an underlying current of just the desire to be wanted and accepted, and again, that false sense of intimacy. And pornography, you know, initially provided that for them, but ultimately it just left them alone and empty. And we're receiving confessions now on the website, about 5 confessions a week. And women are, you know, welcome to go there, go to our website, check it out, and share your story. It's dirtygirlsministries.com. And I know for a lot of women, just reading the success stories of women who have overcome this addiction and who are seeking help and who are recovering, and even stories like their own who are still, you know, they feel so trapped, has provided them with the strength to surrender to Christ and to finally work through their addiction. And I mean, that's what it's really all about, I think, for Jessica and myself. We just want to see women, you know, come to know that Christ loves them and that they can overcome this, and that we are examples of women who have.
Do you have resources on your website?
We do. I have my story, my testimonies on there, and also I have resources that from excerpts from my book that I'm writing right now, just a few tools, and also resources, you know, to Covenant Eyes, obviously. That's a very awesome ministry you guys have there with the filtering systems and the accountability software. It's awesome. It's absolutely incredible. But, things like that are on the website as well. And what we're about to launch in this fall are actually online support groups for women who either don't have support groups in their area or in their churches aren't talking about it, or those who are just, you know, they're just too embarrassed right now to really go face-to-face in a one-on-one setting or in a group setting in person. And so that's the kind of the next way to meet the immediate need, is to help women right now where they are via online recovery groups. And you can sign up for those or get interest in those at dirtygirlsministries.com as well.
All right. Thank you. Jessica, you've also started an online ministry called Beggar's Daughter. You've started an online survey for women, and you've also helped counsel women through this issue, both in person and online. Do you see any patterns or trends in what they're saying?
With nearly all of them, just like with Crystal and my story, the exposure is accidental. There was one who said that she found pornography because a friend told her about it. But the rest of them, it's totally by accident. We're not looking for it. And the first exposure is usually before the age of 13. It's usually 10, 11, right in there, and that's scary. Thinking about it, I babysit 10 and 11-year-olds, and I don't even want to think that they might be getting involved in this. In cases of things like masturbation or sexting or things like that, the first times vary with masturbation is actually younger than 10 or 11. I talked with girls who started masturbating when they were 8 or 9. I mean, we're dealing with, this isn't like a 20, 30-year-old woman issue. This is a little kid issue. You can't really put out a list of symptoms or risk factors for pornography addicts. You can't do it. There's no one woman will be abused, the other one will have a loving father. Like, it just, it's so variable. Some of them will say, "Listen, I have great brothers and a great dad, and I just found this on accident, and whatever, it kind of sucked me in, and Other girls will say, my dad never loved me, so I was looking for affection. Their stories are a lot like mine and Crystal's. In about 75% of the cases, though, and this is what's bad, is what comes with pornography. It's not just a pornography addiction. 75% of the cases I have worked with, women are struggling with low self-esteem, even to the point of suicide. For some women, that's the only way out they see. They feel so trapped by their body and by their mind, and they've tried and they've tried and they've tried, and they're falling, that the only way out for them is just to eliminate the body. That is the mentality there. And I know I struggle with that. In my addiction, in my course of addiction, I got so frustrated with this and so discouraged by trying to break free that I just wanted to give up. In nearly every case, the girls are deathly afraid to tell someone, either because they don't know how to tell them or they don't have any clue who they should tell. I have teenagers that come up to me and say, I probably should tell my pastor's wife, but she's going to have a heart attack. That's what they say. Like, she'll freak out. She won't understand. I tried to tell so-and-so, and they didn't even listen to me. So there's this overwhelming trend of they never meant to be here, but now they feel very stuck.
For more information about Crystal Brunell, visit dirtygirlsministries.com. And for more information about Jessica Harris, visit beggarsdaughter.com. On these sites, you can learn more about porn addiction among women, read stories that inspire hope for recovery, share your own story, and learn more about how to make Christ the focus of our efforts to overcome addiction. You've been listening to the Covenant Eyes podcast with your host, Tricia Gilkerson. To hear more podcasts, visit us on iTunes or go to the Covenant Eyes blog, Breaking Free at CovenantEyes.com/blog.